This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala atamma al-akmalani khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. And welcome to the continuation of Tafsir Surah Luqman. We've reached the part where Luqman alayhi salam's advice to his son that's filled with, subhanAllah, so many lessons and benefits for us all has now begun. We've taken the first two verses of that piece of advice, verse 12, 13, and now today inshaAllah another two verses will be taken inshaAllah, verses 14 and 15. So let's begin with the recitation of this portion of the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن اشكر لله ومن يشكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, last time we began the advice of Luqman. The advice of Luqman to his son, he began on the subject of theology. Yeah, he was advising his son, who we said was a mushrik, to not do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he told him one of the reasons why no one should do shirk with Allah. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. That is a form of dhulm. And we explained that dhulm has three meanings linguistically, and two of those meanings apply in this case of doing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he gave him the reasoning behind why he prohibited him and was advising him against doing such a thing, being a mushrik. We spoke also about what shirk actually entails and any of the dimensions of shirk, you know, and how, more importantly, it is prevalent in our times, maybe even more so than it was in previous times. So the pertinency of these ayat really is something we need to be aware of. Now, it seems as though, okay, that advice moves to another subject. Okay, in this ayah, verse number 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. Allah says that we have instructed, commanded man to be what? To his parents, to show bir to his parents. And then in particular his mother who bore him, wahnan ala wahn, we will take what that means later, wa fisaluhu fi amain, and the weaning, meaning the breastfeeding period, should be up to 2 years. So it seems as though the subject matter is now changing. Okay, so first he spoke about right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he spoke about the right Allah has given to the parents over the child. However, as Ibn Ashur mentioned in his tafsir, both are in fact targeting the same point. about not doing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's something we'll come back to after we take this ayah and the next ayah. So bear that in mind, because the question will be posed, which would be that how does this verse 14 and verse 15 actually serve as more of a reinforcement in the words of Luqman, لا تشرك بالله, don't do shirk with Allah. This advice to be good to one's parents, in fact, in the context of this passage, is just reinforcing the very first thing, which is لا تشرك بالله, don't do shirk with Allah. We'll come to that and see if we can answer this question. Now, we'll start with the vocabulary. There's three words which we want to speak about here. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَوَصَّيْنَا. Wa, this wa here is a continuation, meaning the continuation of the advice. وَصَّيْنَا. We have done وَصَّيْنَا. What does this mean? Wassa comes from the root of wasa. Wasa means to unite something. Wassa, yeah, with the shadda on the sad, it means to recommend. But not just to recommend and to advise. It actually means to impress upon someone, to command someone, to instruct somebody. So sometimes people translate this as, we have advised upon man to be dutiful to his parents. That's not a correct translation, because wasa is far stronger than the original wasa. Okay, so here it is more a firm command. Wassayna al-insan, that we have instructed and commanded man regarding his parents. Okay, now the next word, wahn. Wahnan ala wahn. Two wahns are mentioned in this ayah. Wahn, from the root of wahana, yahinu, it means to be weak, to be feeble, and to grow feeble. Okay, to grow feeble. And this is referring to the pregnancy stage in the life of a child, when the child is inside the womb of the mother. She experiences this thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wahn. Yeah. And then the final word is masir, ilayya al-masir. To us is al-masir. Masir comes to the root of sara, which means to reach a point. It can also mean to return to something. So al-masir, coming from sara, means the place of returning. The place of returning, going back to this place. Allah says, to me is al-masir. That place that you will reach, meaning that place that you will return to. Okay. Now, that's al-masir. Sorry, you need to see that. Al-masir. Also from masir, we get ma'rikatul masir. This expression ma'rikatul masir, which means the decisive battle. Because after this battle, whoever wins it, yani he, if you like, goes back to his position. Meaning he's the one that will be overcome by the other one. So he'll return back to his low position. Ma'rikatul masir, we get that expression. Okay, now for the tafsir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ, that Allah has instructed, strongly commanded man, بِوَالِدَيْهِ, to or by his parents. At-Tabari said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here has commanded man to show bir, goodness or good conduct to his parents, both mother and father. This is something well known and said many times in the Quran. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, an expression you find many times in the Quran. Note here, بِوَالِدَيْ, both parents are being mentioned. Okay, both parents are being mentioned. Now, after mentioning the command to show good conduct to both of your parents, Allah then moved specifically to the mother. This seems to be the only verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically ordered us to show good conduct to our mothers. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the reason why. She deserves more good conduct from you than your father. Two reasonings were given. Firstly, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ, that his mother, حَمَلَتْهُ, bore him, meaning
carried him during pregnancy, wahnan ala wahn. At-Tabri mentioned two views. Wahnan ala wahn. The first is, it's about one stage of weakness followed by another stage of weakness. Followed by another stage of weakness. It's just a constant, if you like, stage of weakness after another. The mother, from conception, as the fetus starts to grow inside of her, she becomes weaker. In the beginning, you have the morning sickness, and then the mother, she's being drained by the child inside as it takes more nutrition from her, so she becomes tired. Then the weight of the child begins to hurt the mother's back. And then some of them get varicose veins, you know, the unsightly veins in the legs. And then the delivery, even more wahan, on top of another wahan. And the delivery is the hardest of it all. So Allah said, look, she carried you wahnan ala wahan, one stage of difficulty after another, or on top of another. The second view is that the first wahan refers to the fetus. The fetus is feeble. The fetus is weak. And the weakness of the fetus makes the mother also experience wahan as well. That she also becomes weak because of the child that is wahan inside of her. And that is also very true. The child needs all of its nutrition coming from the mother. Whatever the mother eats, the child takes from. So the fact that the child takes from the mother in terms of nutrition makes also the mother become weak as well. So the mother also experiences wahan because of the wahan of the fetus. Note here that Allah didn't say wahnun. Allah said wahnan ala wahnin. This is the waw of hal, meaning she carried you whilst being in this state. This state of gradual weakness. So the focus is on you. You are the one that brought about the weakness of your mother at that moment in time. While she was carrying you, she experienced much weakness, much discomfort, much pain. Okay. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. This is now the second reasoning. The reason why you should show your mother more good conduct, better behavior, better speech, is because first she carried you in this state, and secondly, وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ, that she breastfed you for a recommended period of amain, 2 years. Yeah, 2 years. This is the recommended period after which the child should be moved off breast milk. So for this period of time, the mother, she gives the child breast milk. And breast milk is not just any ordinary milk. In fact, breast milk up until today is being recommended to be the best form of nutrition for the baby up until 6 months. This is something well known in the NHS guidelines and NICE guidelines, that breast is best up until 6 months. After that, you can move off exclusive breastfeeding milk, yeah, gradually. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed inside the mother something that benefits the child incredibly. Milk that not just nourishes the child, but they said it contains things that help ward off infection for the child. And the closeness the child experiences with the mother through breastfeeding creates a stronger bond as well, a more deeper love. And there are so many benefits of breast milk. We won't get into that right now. So that's another reason why she deserves more good conduct from you than the father. Anishkur li waliwalidayk. Now, maybe someone would say, well, if Allah is telling us about the parents here, then surely the ayah would end, show them gratefulness and me as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it the opposite way. Anishkur li, show thanks to me, waliwalidayk, and then your parents, both mother and father again. So there's two things we learn here. Why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first commanded us to show gratefulness to Him, after mentioning everything the parents have done, in particular the mother, for you? And thereafter, wali wali dayk, and show also gratitude to your parents. Why do you think it was brought
in this order and not the way that you may think to be more logical. Anyone has an answer to this question?
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that created in the first place, and then created in the womb of your mother.
Mm-hmm.
He could have made you being born deaf or blind or anything, but he gave you all the blessings.
Yet you're saying that because Allah is the source of all blessing, including your parents. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
this is the, mashallah, this is the answer, that your parents have done so much for you. Your mother, how she bore you in pain and then she gave you her breast milk. But those parents of yours and everything else that you have with you is from me. Recognize that first and foremost. This goes back to hikmah. Yani hikmah of Luqman gave him an insight into his own self, that he recognized the blessings of Allah. Meaning he saw blessings and attributed them first to Allah. In the same way here, it takes a level of wisdom to say, as the brother said, that yeah, because the parents do so much, but who is the one who gave me parents? Who is the one who gave the mother the breast milk in order to feed me? Allah. Allah is a source of all blessing. And that is why, anishkur li. Allah said, so show gratitude to me. Wali walidayk. The second thing we note here is the ratio. How many times was the father mentioned in this ayah? And how many times has the mother been mentioned in this ayah? وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ Both been mentioned, yeah? Father been mentioned once. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنًا No father. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ No father. أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ Father. Twice. Mother. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنًا Twice. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ Three times. أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ Four times. Double attention given to the mother over the father. Okay, we know that the mother does more for the child than the father. But in what sense? Okay, the fact that she bore him in pregnancy and that she breastfed him. Okay, so then what is the role of the father? And Allah mentioned the reasons why you should show gratitude to your parents and why you should show them ihsan, good conduct. But where is the father? Any indication of the father given here or before? What is the role of the father? What is the input of the father to the child? Is it mentioned anywhere since the beginning of the advice of Luqman? The brother said that, like Luqman, what was he doing as a father? Giving his son tarbiyah. Giving his son tarbiyah. The role of the father has already been mentioned. Look at Luqman. وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ He was giving him tarbiyah. He was advising him. Yeah, he was advising him, nurturing him, developing him. That was the role of the father, to try and develop the child. Yeah, to try and develop the child in terms of the way he thinks, the way he behaves, the way he looks at the world. This is the father already mentioned. Then Allah mentioned the mother later on. But there's a difference between the two. The mother, this comes naturally to her. She has to bear the child in pregnancy. She has to feed the child. But the father, does he have to be a murabbi? Okay, religiously, yes, he has to. But is it as binding upon him? Does it come as naturally to him, his role, than the mother? No. It's difficult. That shows us that subhanAllah, the role of the father is something that a person needs to be very aware of. It doesn't just come naturally like it does for the mother. Rather, it is something that someone needs to focus on. How should I be a good father to my son and my daughter? What exactly should my role be towards them? What should my plan be with them? How should I be? What milestone should I have in my mind about how I want to raise them up? What do I want to teach them? What do I want to advise them about? What do I want to be when they grow up? وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ Look at Luqman. His priority was to teach his son about Allah's greatness, about his relationship with Allah. And later on, that advice moves then to manners,
conduct, behavior with others around them. Okay, so the role of the father has been mentioned, but it doesn't come as naturally as the role of the mother. Okay, now this verse ends. أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرِ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرِ. What link does Allah saying and to us, yeah, is the return have to do with the commandment to show birr to your parents? What's the link between Allah saying and to us is the final return and telling us that we have enjoined upon man to show birr to his parents? What is the link here? Okay, very good. The brother said you'll be held accountable. And you wasayna, we have given you a command. And there will come a day where we will take you to account for that command. Yeah, we will take you to account for that command, whether or not you did anishkur li waliwalidayk. Yeah, we will take you to account for this wasiyya that we have given. Okay. Now the lessons learnt. The lessons, subhanAllah, are basically three. There's three main lessons here. The first is about something called iltifat. Wawassayna is the first person narrative. First person narrative. We said. Yeah, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. But before that, وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, it was in the third person narrative. It was about Luqman saying, doing things. He spoke to his son. He gave him a maw'idah. He told him, don't do shirk with Allah. Then all of a sudden, a switch. Third person to first person. And we have enjoined upon man to show birr to their parents. Yeah, and it's like you're reading a book, okay, and you hear about Ahmed. Ahmed, he was home one day and he heard burglars downstairs and he went downstairs to chase them out of his home. And we have commanded you to protect your wealth. What happened there? All of a sudden just switched. The subject just switched and the person speaking just switched. What happened there? This is from the beauty of the Quran, and it teaches us two lessons in fact. And no, in fact three lessons. وَوَصَّيْنَا, Allah said, okay, that's Luqman, what he was doing. But now we are going to speak. We are now going to speak and relate to you another command. This command is to do with your own parents. So, number one lesson, it shows us the significance of the command to be good to our parents. How so? Because Allah didn't leave that command to a third person. He didn't leave it to Luqman to say to his own son, and then to you to hear. He said to his son, be good to your parents. Oh, that's a lesson for us as well. No, Allah yani championed the right of the parents himself. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ, we are the ones now commanding you. So that shows us the significance of the obligation to show good conduct to your parents. Number two. It also teaches us that something a bit more subtle. Don't demand your rights from the person himself. Rather, there should be another person telling him that, look, so-and-so has a right over you. And if Luqman, the father, said to his son, you know, you should be good to me, I'm your father, and he wouldn't come across as very good. Why? Because there seems to be a personal interest there. Yeah, you are my father, that's why you're telling me to be good to you. So when you ask for your own right from somebody, it's not as strong as somebody else saying, look, you need to fulfill his right that he has over you. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the command of being good to your parents, it was a third, if you like, another person giving this advice to his son. Another person giving advice, that's far stronger. You know, and it teaches us that as a community, or just as a person who has other friends, those friends have a role to play in the upbringing of that person's child. It shouldn't be the mother and the father really, who should be telling their children, you need to be good to us, you need to behave well with us, Allah has commanded you to show bir to us. Rather it should be the imams, it should be even the uncles, it should be the friends of the father who should be taking up that role. They have a role in the upbringing of somebody else's child. Yeah, it's a very subtle point. The fact that Allah didn't allow Luqman to relate that advice directly to his son, but rather Allah did it himself, teaches us that it's far more powerful that somebody asks for their right, not to ask for their right by that person, but rather it comes from another source. It comes from another source. Okay, the third lesson we learn is that وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانِ is a very general command applying to every one of us. Every one of us. In that there is an implication that the command that came before لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ that Luqman was saying to his son is also in fact general, applying to all of us. It is not just a person who told his son, don't be a polytheist. Rather, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانِ just like this command relates to all of us, so did that previous one as well. It is a story, but in the story is a command that is also general to all of us. We have all been commanded, لا تشرك بالله. Don't make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a point Ibn Ashur mentioned in his tafsir. Now, what is interesting is that there's always been a very close relationship between these two commands. The command not to do shirk with Allah and the command to be close to your parents. It comes side by side. And this is amazing. Allah, the thing He loves the most is for His slaves to worship Him alone. Then if someone asks the question, what does Allah love after that? Yani what is beneath, just beneath that? وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ that Allah loves after that, that the children show good behavior to their parents. Any straight after that? It is mentioned in more than one place. This is one place. We have, for example, in Surah Al-An'am. أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا Allah said, and they should not make shirk with him with in any way, shape or form. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا And to the parents is ihsan. In Surah Al-Isra, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا The same thing again. We have decreed or commanded, your Lord has commanded that you do not worship anyone save Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا And to the parents is إحسان. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 83, لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا Again. And do not worship anyone save Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the parents is ihsan. And then in Surah An-Nisa, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِي شَيْءٌ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا Subhanallah. So many times in the Quran, Allah spoke about the greatest commandment, not to do shirk with Him. And immediately after that, not in another verse, in the same verse, same statement, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا You know, and in that there is a tremendous sign. How much Allah loves and what it means to Allah for a child to show good conduct to his parents. Yeah. In one hadith reported in Sunan An-Nasa'i, class as Sahih by Shaykh Al-Bani rahimahullah, a man came to the Prophet and he said that, look, I've come here to give you bay'ah, meaning I've come here to fight by your side. And imagine a man, he came from far away just to fight alongside the Prophet. By coming to see him and meet him and believing in him, he became a Sahabi. But not just become a Sahabi, he wants to go and fight by the side of the Prophet. But then he said, I came to you in order to give you bay'ah, meaning to fight alongside you, but I left my parents crying. They cried because I left them. Look at what the Prophet said to him. He said, go back to them and make them laugh just as you made them cry. Subhanallah. Go back to them, and not just go back to them so they'll stop crying. No, no. And make up for that hurt that you caused them. فَأَضْحِكْهُمَا كَمَا أَبْكَيْتَهُمَا And make them laugh just as you made them cry. Amazing. The Prophet ﷺ went to that extent that you harmed them this much, you make sure you make up for that harm. You made them cry, now make them laugh. And the command to be good to the parents
yani, subhanAllah, is so high. It cannot be overstated. Okay, so this is, yani, we've taken these lessons now. Iltifat, we said the three lessons we learned from Iltifat. The mother's role, we said here, and next to the father's role, we mentioned, is tarbiyah, and the obligation of birr towards the parents coming straight after the command to obey Allah, to worship Allah alone. Okay, the next verse now. Verse number 15. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Allah said, the first word we'll take, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ, and if they strive against you. The word for strive used here was جَاهَدَ. جَاهَدَ comes from a root of جَهَد, to strive and to labor. From jahad we get the word ijtihad, which means to exercise scholarly judgment, meaning you really push yourself to try and find the right answer based on the knowledge that you have. That is jahad, ijtihad. This here is jahada. Jahada, okay, it can mean either to fight, okay, or it can mean to put a great deal of pressure on someone. A great deal of pressure on someone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here said, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ, if they put a great deal of pressure on you, both of them, جَاهَدَا, both of them in the jewel, put a great deal of pressure on you in order that you تُشْرِكَ بِي, that you make shirk with me, مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِمْ, something that you have no knowledge of whatsoever, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, then in that case, you cannot obey them. وَصَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Then Allah said, and do musahaba. صَاحِبَهُمَا. Musahaba. Okay, this word, it comes from suhba, which means to accompany. Okay, it means to accompany or to associate with someone. It can also mean to befriend. So, صَاحِبَ, here, it is a command. Allah is commanding this person who is under this much pressure from his parents to accompany, meaning spend time and still be around those parents. وَصَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا, in this dunya ma'rufa, in a way that is good, in a way that is known to be good. That is the second word. And the last word, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. And then a second command, وَاتَّبِعْ, and follow the sabil, the way of who? Man, the one أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ, the one who has done anab to me. Anab comes from root of nob. Nob means to represent, to be an agent. Okay, to represent or be an agent, meaning to take the place. There's a businessman and he has some merchandise. He wants to sell it. He can't go to such and such place. So he gets an agent. The agent, the nob, he takes his place. Okay? And that is why anab, it means to go back, turn back. Yeah, because this person, he's just an agent. The actual merchandise goes back to the real businessman. Okay, so Allah said, follow the way of man anaba ilay, the one who has turned to me, the one who has turned to me. This is just the vocabulary, this is not the tafsir. Okay, now the tafsir. This verse was revealed due to an incident that happened during the life of the Prophet ﷺ with one of his companions, Sa'd ibn Malik. Sa'd ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, he became a Muslim in Makkah. Okay, now, when he became Muslim, his mother was still a mushrika. When she found out, she wasn't happy. And she took an oath that I will not eat or drink until you renounce your faith. And imagine, your mother saying that she's going to starve herself and unless you renounce your religion. An immense amount of pressure. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ. Now what did he do? He went to his mother. He went to his mother and he pleaded with her, don't do this. He took food for her, he took drink for her, and he said to her, look, drink, just drink, eat. But I cannot. She said no. After one day she said, I will not until you renounce your faith. Now when she said that, he said, my mother, if you had 100 souls and they began to depart one after the other, I would never leave this religion.
Imagine the expression he used. If you had 100 lives and you lost them one after, I saw you dying 100 times, I would never ever give up. La ilaha illallah. Now when he said that, it was on the second day, she was very feeble and very weak. But when she heard that from him and saw the conviction in his eyes, she said, okay, no problem. And she began to eat. So she gave up. But subhanallah, the pressure that he was under, and she was literally emotionally blackmailing him to give up Islam. And he was a new Muslim. He was a new Muslim. And this is something that many, many, many reverts face. They become Muslim and they are ostracized by their friends and their family, and sometimes even disowned by their own parents. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ. That situation is being spoken about right here. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Allah said, in that situation where you are being compelled by none other than those parents that I've just told you have such a high rank over you, in that case, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. You cannot obey them. Meaning, when it comes to that particular request, you cannot say, okay, if that's what you want, mom, I'll do it. But Allah didn't leave it there. Allah then mentioned advice. What should someone do in that situation? وَصَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. That you should instead, after saying, no, I can't do this particular thing, continue having a good relationship with them. وَصَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Means, if they live somewhere nearby, go and visit them. Don't say, how can you ask me to do such a horrible thing? I never want to see your face ever again. No. Even though they may make your life difficult, when you go around there, they may mock at you. She wears a hijab. Now, what are you doing wearing hijab? You're in niqab. How dare you come in my house wearing niqab? No. You can't, because of that, say, forget it. To hell with it. No, you have to continue to strive, and at the very least have musahaba, meaning accompany them, be around them, spend a little bit of time with them. Fid dunya. Notice how Allah added fid dunya. Why do you think Allah mentioned fid dunya here? Why? Because of course they're here with you now. I'm going to do that now. I'm not going to do that in any other time. So why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly said fi dunya? Yes. Very good. In fi dunya is an unfortunate indication that your parents, how much you love them, will only be with you here. They disbelieve in me, they will never be with you in the akhirah. They will be away from you and you will be away from them. Subhanallah. Wa sahibahuma fi dunya ma'rufa. Ma'rufa is a very general term. Ibn Ashur said ma'ruf is something that anyone, any sensible person point to and say, you know, that's a good thing. Look at, he's speaking to his mum in a nice way. That's a good thing. He's brought some flowers. He's treating her well. It's a good thing. No one would ever say this is a bad thing. This is ma'ruf. The fact that Allah used such a general word, you know, because they are non-Muslim. They are disbelievers. So it means you have to be general in the way you are with them. You know, you have to be good in the way you are with them. And what they appreciate as being good is what everyone appreciates as being good. It is ma'roof, something well known to be good to every single person. Now the second piece of advice for this person who is in this problem. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. Now, وَاتَّبِعْ is اتِّبَعْ. It means to follow. But this is one word, اتِّبَعْ. This is one command. The previous command was صَاحِبَهُمَا. This is مُصَاحَبَة. So what is the difference between اتِّبَاع and مُصَاحَبَة? مُصَاحَبَة means to accompany. اتِّبَاع means to follow. So Allah said, when it comes to the parents that are disbelievers asking you, making your life a misery because you're a Muslim, then do مُصَاحَبَة. But whilst you have to go and spend time with them, I want you to do something else. وَاتَّبِعْ. Follow. Adhere. Adhere. Don't just be around good people. No. وَاتَّبِعْ. Follow them. And who? مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. Those people have already turned to me. Meaning those people that have strong iman in me. have a good relationship with me? Are good people committed to the religion? Those people you should follow. Al-Razi, rahimahullah, said, Musahaba is to do with the jasad, the body. You know, physically be around them. Physically be around them. But ittiba' is to do with the aql. It's to do with the mind. Allah is saying you will be influenced badly by your parents, so just be around them. When it comes to the good company, then follow them. Open up your mind to them. Be influenced by them. Yeah, you need to purify yourself from this element here. This is a bad element. But you have to deal with it in the appropriate way. You can't cut yourself off. They're still your parents. You have to be around them. But in order to compensate for that bad influence, follow those that have turned towards me. Man anaba ilay. And in the end, this hardship is a test. Thumma ilayya marji'ukum. You will all be coming back to me, you and your parents. فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And we will indeed inform you all. If you've done good deeds, we will inform you about them. If you've done evil deeds, we will inform you about them. Everything that you did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you all to account, you and your parents. Ibn Ashur said, the word here, إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ, contains wa'ad and wa'id. Wa'ad and wa'id. Wa'ad is a promise, wa'id is a warning. It's an address to both those parents. Are you seriously going to make your son or daughter's life a misery because they're Muslim? إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. You're going to come back to me. Meaning you will be punished for that. And son and daughter, you're going through hardship. إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. You're going to come back to me. I'm going to reward you for all of this hardship. That's a wa'ad. That's a promise I'm giving you. Yeah, wa'ad and wa'id found in مَرْجِعُكُمْ. Okay. To end now, the lessons. The first lesson, as mentioned by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, is that in this verse there is a proof for ijma'. Ijma'? Ijma' means the consensus of the Muslims. The Muslims agreed that such and such is part of the religion, or such and such is being obliged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that has not explicitly been already mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. Yeah, something that hasn't already been mentioned explicitly in the Quran and Sunnah. So the sources of Islam are the Quran and Sunnah, and then ijma', things that the scholars all are in agreement about. And then you have another source, which is called qiyas, analogy. Yeah, analogy based on the Quran and Sunnah. So where in this verse is there an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the Muslims to take ijma' as one of the sources of Islam? Where do you think in this verse that there is an indication pointing towards the Fadl? No. There's not a point of ijma' in this verse. There is words that are pointing towards the fact that ijma' is part and parcel of Islam and one of the sources of Islam. Yes, very good. وَاتَّبِعْ مَنْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. Follow the path of those that have turned towards me. Meaning, if all the Muslims have turned towards me on this point, then you also have to follow them as well. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. The fact that they've all come together in agreement that this thing is haram or halal, it means you have to follow them in that way. Why? Because ijma' is something binding upon everybody. Yeah? Ijma' is something binding upon everybody. So if there is an ijma' on something, then wattabi'. You have to follow that. You have no choice in the matter. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet said, would not allow the whole ummah to be misguided altogether on anything about the religion. How could that be when Allah said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That if you don't know, ask the people of dhikr, meaning the scholars. So if all Muslims have been misled on this point of Islam, then who is there to ask exactly about what's the right opinion about this? If all of them have been misguided, yet Allah said, ask people of knowledge if you don't know, how can the two come together? Surely some would know. Surely some would know, right? Anyway, there are many proofs in the Quran pointing towards the legislation of ijma'. We're not going to go into that now. That's the first lesson. The second lesson is how to deal with the non-Muslim family. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here gave us some guidance. Musahaba. Musahaba is to do, as Razi said, with the body. That you need to be around them. Okay? They deserve a minimum from you. And these are not just any parents. These are the worst category of parents. Because they want you to do the worst thing, which is to renounce your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the minimum. This is not the maximum. This is the at the very minimum, a person has to try and spend time with those parents. Be around them, talk to them, tell them about their life, see how they're doing. And if they need, for example, care, to care for them. If they need financial help, to financially help them, etc., etc., etc. This is a minimum. Okay, this is a minimum. So in there is a lesson about how to deal with the non-Muslim parents. Another lesson is about finding the middle way. This is a very difficult situation a person finds himself in. Once a man came to Imam Malik rahimahullah and said to him that, I live in Egypt, but I want to come and study with you. You are in Medina. And my father is here as well. And my father said, son, come and stay with me. My mother is in Egypt. My mother said, if you don't leave me. So my mother said, don't leave me. My father said, come here. What do I do, ya Imam? He said, don't leave your mother and be with your father. He said, what? Don't leave my mother and be with my father. How is that possible? Imam Malik rahimahullah is telling him, find the middle way. Don't think binary. Either this or this. Either this or this. No. The reality is, if you push yourself, think about it, take advice from others, you'll find the middle way. They asked you to do shirk. No, they didn't just ask you, they're forcing you to do shirk. You can't do that, but there's a middle way. وَصَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوَا. Be with them in this way, that you spend a bit of time with them. You accompany them, okay? You be around them, give them some time. But you can't go to that extent, and nor should you go to the other extreme, which is say, forget about it. I don't want anything to do with them. I'm not going to see them ever again. Find the middle way. Yeah? There's another lesson there. And the final is about remedying bad influence with good. Okay, the fact is, many of us have so many avenues that we get bad influence from. For some, it's the entertainment world. For others, it's workplace. For some, it's even friends. The fact is, you will never be able to eliminate all of those avenues of bad influence. True or not? There will always be some bad influence coming from one place or another. So the way you remedy that is by first marginalizing it, okay, trying to minimize that as much as possible, but you compensate for that. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ. Be around good people. Good people that will advise you when you're doing things wrong. Not those people that will just pat you on your back when you tell them that you have been doing so many haram things. No, not those people. Those people, they are not truly the friends. The friend is the one who says, look, this is wrong. You will be held accountable by Allah for doing this. Think about this again. Don't do this. Or he sees an opportunity for you to do khair. And he says, look, why don't you go for that? That's a good opportunity for you. Earn some reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the good influence. Now many times people avoid good influence because they think that the personalities of those people are very different to his. They're not those people, not the ones that party around and go here and there. No, those people, they're so dry. They don't have no jokes. They're not those people that have fun. No, I'm different to them. It's difficult for me. Maybe that's true. Maybe your personality is very different to those people. But what is at stake? What is at stake is your position in the Akhirah. That is what is at stake. You cannot afford to be spending time with people of bad influence. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. Though you may never be able to cut away from them completely, try and engross yourself. Yeah? Throw yourself into the company of good people. There's another principle that the Prophet ﷺ related to us in helping us find the middle way. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا طَاعَةَ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ. That there is no ta'a, there is no obedience, there is no obedience to be shown when it comes to the disobedience of Allah. If someone's telling you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot show them obedience in that particular matter. For he said, ta'a, obedience is only to be shown in that which is ma'roof. So here an example. Let's take an example. A person takes a vow. He's going to, for example, make i'tikaf in the masjid for 3 days. This is not in Ramadan, outside Ramadan. You can make i'tikaf at any time. He says, I'm going to make i'tikaf at the masjid for 3 days. He's taken a vow. He said, I swear by Allah, I will make i'tikaf on this day. His father then says to him, I want you to do something for me on that day. I want you to take me somewhere. I want you to do something for me. So here's one wajib. The father asked you, requested you. Maybe he's even commanding you. Another wajib over here, the vow. The vow with Allah to make i'tikaf. So how should a person deal with this? There seems to be an apparent clash between one wajib and another wajib. How does one deal with this situation? Okay, so the brother said you should take the stronger wajib. You should take the strong wajib. But even before moving to that, akhi, what do we just learn in this ayah? Exactly. Before we even go to that extent, yeah, let's get down to the technicalities. Which is wajib al-awwal and al-thani? No. Before you even get to the technicalities, let us look for the middle way. Can you speak to your father and try and rearrange this? Can you explain to him that this is difficult for me? This should be the first thing on our minds. For some reason, there's a dichotomy in our minds. When it comes to the deen, it's either this or this. Either this way or this way. There's no middle way. There's always a middle way. And this is why having good relations with your parents helps you in doing khair for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if your parents see that my son, he hangs around with decent people. He does good things. He takes care of me when I need him. So when he's going to ask me that, you know, you asked me, Dad, you requested I do this. Is it possible for me to do it like this or at a later date? Most probably they will say, no problem. Because they're happy with you. If your parents are happy with you, they will allow you to do so many things. But if they are displeased with you, you behave badly with them, then when it comes to you wanting to find the middle way about other things which you want to do good, you'll find it difficult. True or not? Yeah, true or not? So being good to your parents, subhanAllah, has so many benefits. So anyhow, that example is just to fool you into giving me the answer. Sorry. Because really and truly, there will be very difficult to find a situation where there is a direct clash between this wajib and this wajib, where you need to make a decision, either this one or this one. So inshallah, we come to the end of the dars today. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.